ओमज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितां तं सजीवम् अद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च सिंधुभ्यः एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण इट इज विथ मिक्स्ड फीलिंग्स ऑफ जॉय एंड सम सोरो द डिवोटीज ऑफ गोपीनाथ मंदिर विल सेलिब्रेट फॉर द नेक्स्ट फ्यू डेज द गौर पूर्णिमा फेस्टिवल द जॉय इज रिगार्डिंग द upcoming most important year of the most important day of the entire year, the event of Lord Chaitanya, which is supremely auspicious for all living entities. And the sorrow is of the loss of our dear God brother Shyamavalla Prabhu, who left this world yesterday. So keeping both these moods in our heart, we shall try to dive deep into the glories of what this day entails into our life and see how we can fully absorb and take full advantage of the mercy which is bountifully available on these most holy days. Tomorrow will be the actual day of the full moon, the Purnima, commemorating the event when in 1486 the Lord appeared in this world on the same day in the holy land of Shridham Mayapur in Navadvip. Today we will try to discuss something which should help us to open our hearts and to receive the mercy which will flow bountifully tomorrow. When you start, you sometimes go to a restaurant, you have a main course, but you have some starters. It's something like that. So today's day is more like a starter to increase our appetite, our hunger, our greed, our thirst, our hankering for what is going to come up tomorrow. So the question can be asked, how do we open our hearts? What does it mean to open our hearts? Opening the heart is a very beautiful way of looking at these festivities. Why? Because essentially we are living in our hearts. Our soul, that is ourselves, is in the heart. And therefore, opening the hearts would mean opening the doors of our consciousness. The heart is like a residence of the soul. And like any other house has doors and windows, right? Some place to get in, some place to get out. So also our consciousness can and should be opened wide. Today morning, I was blessed to see and have darshan of the high priest of a Jagannath Puri temple who blessed me with his fond embrace, Ram Kumar Panda Prabhu. When I looked at him, I felt to share this. Our hearts are like the Jagannath Puri temple. The temple has got four doors. We all know that. We all have been to Puri. There are four doors. And the four doors represent the doors of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. And Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, whom we are going to talk about today and tomorrow in more detail, is a person who always entered through the Simhadwara gate, the lion gate, the gate which represents Dharma. So therefore it is not unbefitting to think how to increase, open our hearts to this mercy, to allow the Lord to enter into our hearts from the Simhadwara gate, the gate of Dharma. It would also mean probably that we'll have to close the other three doors. Because the tendency is to allow things from other doors also to enter, and that creates confusion. A lot of things entering to the Kama gate, the Artha gate, sometimes the Moksha gate, and all these things keep coming inside our consciousness. There is massive confusion. So as devotees, we are being trained systematically by spiritual masters and the parampara to become more discriminative as to what to allow to enter within the doors and windows of our own hearts. I am reminded of a beautiful but simple instructive leela when Sri Krishna was lying down in Hastinapur. And Duryodhan came to see the Lord, and so did Arjun. We won't go into the detail of the story, but everyone knows. But essentially, Duryodhan was hankering deeply for what the Lord had to offer. His Narayani Sena, which was the most powerful phalanx of armies which existed in this universe. And he wanted that because he wanted a decisive advantage over Arjun by getting the most powerful army on his side. And Arjun, being what he is, a genuine Vaishnav, a dear devotee of the Lord, was only too happy to grant that to Duryodhan. Said, I want the Lord. Even if he's not going to take up a single sword or bow and arrow, I want the Lord. So essentially our consciousness is divided between these two paradigms. Do we want the world as created by God, or do we want God himself? There is essentially no third paradigm of consciousness existing in creation. Either a person is pursuing the things which the world has to offer, or he is pursuing a lifestyle where he wants the Lord himself. Human life is supposed to start, the very starting point of human life is when you make this transition of closing your doors to hankering after the things of this world and open your doors and of your heart to gather and understand Atato Brahma Jigyasa. What is the Lord offering to me? I want the Lord. as our hearts open. Our hearts open by the powerful instrument of inspiration. Inspiration is the key to open the doors of our heart. And we will notice that things which inspire us deeply, our hearts start flowing automatically towards that direction. Right? If you're inspired by money, you don't have to think, you just heart starts flowing towards money, stock exchange, economic times, and Sensex rates, and gold prices, and property estate rates. It just flows in that direction. And nothing else seems to matter, because your heart is flowing in unrestrictedly in one direction. Right? So what we get inspired by is where our hearts will flow into. So we want to endeavor as practicing Vaishnavas to create a lifestyle, an attitude, a mood in our hearts where we are inspired by the desire to achieve Krishna's grace. The Lord has come to offer grace. He offers grace in every avatar, of course. As Rama, as Narsingha, as Vamana, as Kurma, as Parashuram, as Matsya, He is offering grace. The Lord never comes to this world to take anything. We come to take things from this world, to enjoy the things of this world. We come here, we have come here for this purpose. The Lord is a supreme enjoyer. Why would He want to enjoy the stale, rotten, corrupted things of this mortal world consisting of Pancha Mahabhut? It would not interest Him at all. He comes only to give. But when he comes to give, He doesn't just give sort of indiscriminately. The Lord is a person. Like we are persons. And we are discriminative, and so is the Lord. Right? Whom to give, how much to give, and what to give, and where to give. The Lord is going to use His supreme discrimination to do that. Right? So, we understand from the Holy Scriptures, the Srimad Bhagavatam and others, that the Lord has come, in fact He will come as predicted, Sambhavami, Yuge Yuge. And yet when He comes there, Lord Ramachandra, He is giving out the opulence of His most pristine opulence of beauty. Kandarpa Aganita Amita Chabi. We sing the song, Sri Ramachandra Ke Palu Bhajamana, right? It's a popular song glorifying Lord Ramachandra. Kandarpa Aganita. Kandarpa is a god of love, Cupid. Aganita means unlimited, asankhya. Amita Chabi, His form, beautiful. Amita means beautiful. His form is the embodiment of the beauty which defeats the combined power of millions of cupids. That is Lord Ramachandra. Excellent. Highest. Supreme. Climax of beauty. The Lord comes as Narasingha Dev. Power. Power to tear apart a body which is made of vajra. Not with mace and bows and arrows, but with simple nails. How much can we tear anything with nails? Not even cloth, not even steel, not even, you cannot tear anything with your nails. But the Lord has the power to even crack open a vajra made body with simple nails. That is power. Right? So in this way, the Lord gives out, He shows His opulences in all these avatars. When He comes as Sri Krishna, He manifests fully all six opulences in full measure. Why? Why does the Lord come to exhibit His opulences? There's only one reason and none other.
Jivera karane asiya prapanche lila koile suvistara. Gopina,
right? Jivera karane, His only purpose to exhibit his opulence of love, beauty, strength, wealth, fame, and renunciation is for one purpose. Jivera karane. To attract our distracted hearts, which are distracted by artha, kama, and moksha. These are the poisons of the heart. They destroy our natural instinct to love the Lord. We are instinctually, naturally lovers of God. But that can be poisoned by these admixtures of our consciousness. And therefore, we are welcoming our heart, opening our hearts to that person who has come to give something which even Krishna, the Purna Purushottam, did not give. Ramchandra is Maryada Purushottam, the benchmark in everything which is perfect in terms of behavior and relationships, is Lord Ramachandra. Perfect king, perfect brother, perfect son, perfect husband, perfect friend, perfect master, perfect well-wisher. No one can exceed that. Krishna is Leela Purushottam. There cannot be better Leelas which can ever be heard of, thought of, read about than Krishna's pastimes. Leelas, supreme Leelas. However, Lord Chaitanya, in one sense, excels Krishna in exhibiting opulence of a different dimension, the opulence of renunciation. Only in this avatar does the Lord take sannyas. Krishna doesn't take sannyas. He marries 16,000 wives. Right, of course. Not in a mood of enjoyment, just to satisfy the desires of his devotees. So let us see what we can talk about the Lord Chaitanya in different categories. The person, the supreme person, the place, the philosophy, the people, all P's, 4 P's, 5 P's can be there. The person. Let's talk about the person. While our consciousness gets muddled up with the things of this world which are here and now around us, the newspaper, the magazines, the WhatsApp messages confuse us, distract us, contaminate us. But the Holy Scriptures heralds and waits. People in the creation all over the world were waiting for this day, for the person to come. Maharaj Nimi, long, long ago in Satyuga, was told by Karabhajan Muni, now Yogindras, Krishna Vadam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagya Sankitana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumida Saha. He was told in way back, thousands of millions of years ago, that there will be a Kali Yuga which will come very soon and the Lord will come. What will he do? Yagya Sankitana Prayer. Prahlad Maharaj talked about the Channa Avatar, the covered avatar, where he will not come as God, but he'll come as a perfect, most cultured, most well behaved, the most highest moral practicing Vaishnav. Bhakta avatar. That is a person. And how rare. Our consciousness, we are very small. Not small, we are infinitely small. And because we are small, our consciousness also is so small. And we get affected by small things. And we were discussing the other day how our mind just goes towards small things like, okay, my school, my child's school and his fees and my, you know, EMI and my loans and my LIC policy. We think of only few months and years, retirement at the most. We can think of few years, right? But we think of Lord Chaitanya to expand our understanding of numbers and age and time. A rare event is happening in cosmic time. A person who is going to come, who comes to this world, not once in few years, not once in few decades, not once in few centuries, not once in a yuga cycle, but comes once in 8.64 billions of years. Obviously, an event which is so rare in cosmic time must attack our hearts powerfully. If something is happening so rare, you know, you go to Kumbh Mela, or this is once in 12 years, or this is once, this Kumbh Mela comes once in 144 years, this is Mahakumbh. No, this is Mahakumbh. People say, oh, this is once in 44 years, I have to go for this 144 year wala because next 144 will come and I'm not there. So let me go right now, so whatever, let me take a dip and, you know, put water and chant prayers and mantras, whatever good is to gain, let me gain that because all sin and everything is there, papa and all, little bit more punya will be welcome. So they go for Kumbh like that. This is Mahakumbh. 144 years. But what is 144 years cycle? When you talk about cycle which comes once in 8.64 billion of years. Whew. And that's happening now. That's more important. If you were then, it was happening. What does it concern me? You know? Something is happening once in 8 million years. You know? Well, what does it mean to me? It's something which is, you know, I am not connected. But it's happening now. We are in that age. And how much our heart should feel completely enthused and deeply inspired. Something so rare the Lord has come to give must be special. Anar pita charim chirat karunaya avtirna kalau samarpaitum unnata ujvala rasvam sabhakti shriyam. Right? Anar pita. It was never given before. Arpita means to give, to offer. Never given before. Charim chira, for a long, 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 long time. Avtirna kalau, but it's happening now in Kali Yuga. Right? So simply by understanding the person and his rarity of his descent, our heart should be enthused. I want what the Lord has come to give. And I'm so blessed to be in this world during the golden era of the Lord's descent. How fortunate. Our heart swells with gratitude to be recipient of something so rare in cosmic time. An event so powerful which affects the entire universe beneficially. And of course, who is he? Yes, he is Krishna, no doubt. He is the supreme avatar, he is not an avatar. And yet he is, in one sense, little more than Krishna also. Because Radha and Krishna combined, that makes him even more of a person who can give grace and love. The love of Radharani with the grace of Krishna, with the mercy of Krishna. When that two things combined, how powerful is that combination? Radharani is a reservoir of all love. She is the abode of love. She is Prema Niketana. She houses all love for the Lord in our heart. And every molecule of love which any of the devotees ever had are only parts and parcels of her love. And when she combines with Krishna, the all attractive, what does that combination mean to us? It is difficult to understand. And yet, with a heart of Shraddha, we know it's something very, 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 very special. Radha Krishna coming together. Pranavikritil adhadini shak asmat. Right? Very rare. So let's open our hearts to that. Therefore, on the altar of the Lord, on a practical way, when you come to the temple of the Lord, you will always find in Jehu temple, in our temple, other temple of Gaunita is there, Sakshad, that we always put our glance first on the extreme left first. It would be inappropriate for a sadhaka to look at Radha Krishna directly because he has no adhikar. And it's a little audacious sometimes to think like that. I can approach Radha Krishna directly. We can only approach Radha Krishna through. Radha Krishna is approachable only through Raga Marga. We are not practitioners of Raga Marga. We are practitioners of Vaidhi Marga. We are Vaidhi Bhaktas. Right? Therefore, we first glance at the feet of Lord Nityananda. We don't even look at Lord Chaitanya first. Prabhupada understood that when he went to the West, that while the Gaudiya Mutt installed Gaurang Mahaprabhu everywhere, Prabhupada understood that in the West, even Mahaprabhu's mercy is going to be difficult to access. Let me have installed Nityananda Prabhu also along with him. Because we're going into the Mlecha world, which doesn't mean just the West, of course, it means East, West all together. Right? So therefore, the Lord Prabhupada is so much deeply understood how to access the Lord's grace. So therefore, there is Nityananda first, his lotus feet and then his face. Gaurang Mahaprabhu, his first lotus feet and then his beautiful face. And there is Krishna, Srimati Radharani. Right? So we only approach Gauranga through Nityananda. Radha Krishna Paite Nai. It is said, unless you approach Nityananda Prabhu. So that is the person. For a few minutes we should talk about the place. The place is so special. Every other dham in this creation declines in power with the advent of Kali Yuga. The dham is pure, and yet people who reside there are impure. And therefore by their influence, the dham gets covered over. And the mercy available in bountiful in the dham becomes inaccessible because of the residence of unholy people. The only dham which increases in power is Sri Dham Mayapur. Let us remember that beautiful day. Prabhupada sitting in the night, not night, early morning, writing his transcendental bhakti on the purports, praying, hankering for getting some piece of land in Mayapur. And then he hears steps of somebody coming up. Prabhupada, as you know, was staying on the first floor. The place is still there. And somebody walking up the wooden doors, wooden steps, and Gargamuni Prabhu comes and says, Prabhupada, the land is now yours. So our gratitude goes and towards Tamalakrishna Maharaj and Gargamuni Prabhu, who brought the first piece of land in the fold of Prabhupada's society. I think that was 1971. The first festival of Gaurapurnima was 1972. That is the place. Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham, where Krishna's lilas of Madhurya are revealed. And Mayapur is Audharya Dham, where those lilas are spread, disseminated. They are taken in the hearts of the devotees and given out to the whole world. So they are create, that Madhurya Dham creates the lilas, and Audharya is like the distributor of those lilas and gives access to Vrindavan. Access to Vrindavan is through Mayapur. And access to Mayapur is through Kolkata. Nobody can go to Mayapur unless you first land by on Howrah or by a flight to Dum Dum. What is that airport called? I don't know what it's called now. You have to get down at the airport and you have to touch the holy land of Kolkata. The land of Prabhupada's birth. Only by touching the land of Prabhupada's birth, Prabhupada's lotus feet, sanctified that holy place, only by touching that land can you have access to Mayapur and then Vrindavan. We can never forget. So we can see Mayapur even physically from, I don't know how many, maybe 4 bighas land. How many was there? I don't know how much they got in the first bargain, first deal. 4 bighas, 8 bighas, some land was obtained. Something very small. And now we have a swelling 750 acres of land. Shila Mayapur ki? And how much this is attracting people from all over the world now. Audharya Dham. Prabhupada wanted this. He wanted so bad that people must come once in a year Because that's the place where you access grace. You access grace and you, not just for yourself, but then you go out to your centers. You're coming from Paris or London or Australia, wherever you're coming from, you access that grace in your heart, fill your pockets, fill your heart with Krishna's mercy, Mahaprabhu's mercy, and then wherever you are staying as president or temple brahmachari or grihastha, wherever you are, you just go and spread that grace and give to every town and every village in your area. Right? What a perfect plan. What a master plan of the Lord to install His grace in one place, Prabhupada's mercy to call everyone to that place and then say, now go to your places. And distribute this mercy. It's not for you, it's for the whole. And the more you will give, the more you will get. The more you give, the more you will get. Right? And therefore, we hear the glories of the place where every step is like more than so many Yashomedh Yagyas and all that. Of course, that's not our mood. We don't really go for the Ashwamedh Yagya part, right? We go mainly for getting the mercy of the Pancha Tattva. Let's not forget the Mahaprabhu is not alone. This time, Sitaram together, Radha Krishna together, Lakshmi Narasingha together. So they come together like that. But Mahaprabhu is special in the sense that he comes with his Parshads. And they all are to be worshipped together. Our Gaudiya Parampara teaches us not to just worship Mahaprabhu alone. Even though he's Radha Krishna, yet we cannot disconnect them from Advaita. We cannot disconnect them from the best devotee, Narada as from Srivastava. We cannot disconnect them to Gadadhara Pandit, who's Shakti, Bhakta Khyam. Right? So they all are worshipped on the altar of Mayapur all together. Pancha tattvakmakam krishtam bhakta rupasvarupakam bhakta avataram bhakta akhyam namami bhakta shaktikam. Right? And what are they doing? What is the role? They are plunderers of the storehouse of love of God. See, even an ordinary guest in this world has a safe in his house, right? Every cupboard has a safe. Of course, every thief knows where the safe is. You know, so it's not actually safe. Because every cupboard is known. You know, this is, here you go and on the right side there is a khacha and then you know that key there and everyone puts their jewelry there. So it's not even safe there. So it's not safe. But it's called safe. Just called safe. Then your bank, you have a locker in your bank, right? Where you keep your documents, your gold and nobody puts onions and garlics and potatoes there, right? Put the most valuable things there. Right? So if you and I have safes and treasure houses, however small, the Lord is a person again. He also has his own treasury where he keeps in which he doesn't just show and give everybody. Right? But when Lord Chaitanya comes, he brings that whole treasury box along with him. And the Panchatattva, they just open the seal. And that rare thing called as Purushartha Shiromani. That money is a jewelry box, right? Jewelry box means, you know, the pearls and rubies and emeralds and lapis lazulis and all these rare things are there. Diamonds and sapphires and pearls are there. But there is no higher pearl than the money called as Purushartha Shiromani. Beyond dharma, beyond artha, beyond kama and beyond moksha is that jewel which guarantees you love of God. So Lord opens the storehouse and distributes that indiscriminately. How very rare is that? Now love of God is something so rare that most of us don't even understand what that really means. Love of God, well, I don't want it. I want some good food, want some good clothes, a nice car and a good mobile. It should be enough for me. Who wants to have love of God? We are so tiny. We are so, in one sense, stupid also. You know, we don't want love of God. The Lord is begging you to take it. This person, I don't want it. It's not for me. You know, dhanam dehi. We want these things of this world still. the Lord has come from Golok Vrindavan once in so many billions of years and says, take it. Earlier, even as Krishna, I did not give it to anybody except you shared this love among the Brijvasis. That's all. I didn't want to give it to anybody else, and maybe some few devotees in Mithila, you know, like that. Some devotees in Dwarkapuri. And even that was not the highest realm of unalloyed love. But when Mahaprabhu comes, he gives that love which the Brijvasis are only enjoying with Krishna, the highest realm of love. He has given that love to anybody and everybody. It will be impossible for us to appreciate this essential truth of love of God unless we understand what love of God really means. It is the very energy of our soul. The soul is hankering for nothing but this pure love. And nothing of this world will satisfy, as Christ said. What is the value of gaining the whole world but lose your immortal soul? So Mahaprabhu has come to give that. So our hearts go to that tree today. That tree in the holy land of Mayapur. That celestial Kalpavriksha tree. Which we all have been there. We have taken the dust of that tree, put it on our heads and bowed down to that tree. The Neem tree. Incidentally, in a conference a few years back, the Neem tree was declared by the scientific world as the most beneficial tree to humankind in the world. Rebol. There are so many types of trees, right, in this world. So many types of them. Actually, species, you know, there are so many millions of species of trees. But the scientific world understands that the most beneficial tree to humankind is the neem tree. Anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, anti-AIDS, you know, skin, cosmetics, digestive, immunomodulator, anti-inflammatory, you name it. All properties which are desirable in a herb are all there in the neem tree. So no wonder Nimai was born under a neem tree. Because all the desires of the soul can be fulfilled by the person born under the neem tree. Nimai. Right? Of course, even though the place of Mahaprabhu's birth is the most important, yet within Mayapur also, probably the most attractive place is Srivas Angan, where the Panchatattva gathered together. It is the place where the Sankara movement actually began in this universe for the first time. It's like where the plane lands, right? So the mercy landed at Srivas Angan. There were the most and the highest leelas of the Lord, in the beginning closed door and then afterwards in open, were in the realm of that small piece of land called as Srivas Angan. But the Lord revealed, especially among the millions of other leelas that he did, for 21 hours, the Saptaprahariya leela. Right? And that leela is so very wonderful. Adhanath Maharaj has, for hours and hours and hours, narrated this pastimes of this holy place. You remember, we were there late in the night. Everyone was sitting there. It was pitch dark. The leela began at 6 in the evening. Until 11 in the night, there are still things, more things to say. You know, sitting on the walls and everywhere. And Maharaj was saying, I cannot see anybody. Whether you are sleeping or you are awake, I don't know. You know, no one was sleeping. Everyone was awake, wide awake, hearing, rapt attention. Mahaprakash Leela of the Lord. But the Lord shows bhakti is about reciprocation. And in Mahaprakash Leela, you hear about reciprocation of the Lord with his devotees. Mahaprabhu's Leela is so special in so many ways that in this Leela, devotees from all other avatars are also joined together. All the, what you call the who's who of the Bhagavatam are all there. Hanuman is there, and Vyasadeva is there, Shiva is there, Narada is there, Kolashidhar is there, Sudama is there, the gopis are there. Everybody who has any role to play in any of the previous Leelas were all there. Right? What a special place Shiva's Angan actually is. Right? But they're all revealed as most confidential pastimes. And there, now of course various leelas took place there, but I'm reminded of, right now, of the leela where Srivas Thakur's son dies. Right? What a special leela is that? Because that in, so many lessons of course in that leela, but what it comes up is the level of the surrender of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Now, which devotee would not cry when your son dies? And would we allow kirtan to go on in your own house when the next room your son has died and everyone is lamenting? Naturally so, when your son dies, there is bereavement, there is pain, there is grief and sorrow. And the next, in the living room is kirtan going on. And wouldn't you wonder, this should stop, right? My son has died. Everyone should cry like me. Because everyone should share the grief of my heart. Right? But the surrender of Srivas Thakur, the moment he gets this news that his son has died, he goes inside the house, inside the inner rooms, and the ladies are crying, wailing, sobbing. He said, don't cry loudly. If you cry loudly, this will disturb my Lord's kirtan. And if his kirtan gets affected and he stops his ecstatic dance, I'm undone. My service is undone. It's unfulfilling. There should be nothing which can ever obstruct the Lord's Sankirtan. So if you're crying to obstruct that, please cry if you have to, but cry softly. How did he... Was he a stone-hearted person? That he had no emotions for his son? Of course he had unlimited love for his son. He is Narad Muni. His heart is full of love. His heart is so soft. But yet his heart is overrun by the love for his Lord. Right? And nothing should obstruct the Lord's enjoyment. My sorrow is insignificant. The Lord's pleasure is supremely significant. And if you cry loudly, he warned them, I will tie a rope around my neck, put a stone around it, and I'll jump in the Ganges and give up my life. Commit suicide. Only one is already dead. One more death will take place. Nobody cried after that. And he went out. And he put up a face as if nothing has happened. He was blissful, he was smiling. Right? That is the level of surrender, Sharanagati of the Lord's devotees. That they do not allow their own sorrow to some way affect the Lord. And he is dancing and singing like a regular day. And someone had whispered in the ears of Shiva's, of Lord Chaitanya, Shiva's Thakur's son has expired. Raja? The Lord immediately stopped. So when did this happen? 7.5 hours ago. Really? Why no one told me? Oh. Mahaprabhu was so much concerned about this. He said, let's go. He went inside. And he was very sorrow-stricken. The Lord put his hand on the heart of Srivas Thakur's son and said, please wake up. He rose from the dead. He said, why have you left your father's home? He said, my dear Lord, I am your devotee. You are the supreme control of my life. By your own will, I was in this house living with these parents. In my own sweet will, I am going to another place where you want me to go and serve. I am a surrendered servant. I am just happy to be in the place where you want me to be. He spoke philosophy. He was speaking like a self-realized person. And he allayed the anxieties and sorrow of Srivas Thakur's family. And again he slept. And the beauty of the reciprocation of the Lord is that while they were mourning for the loss of the son, Mahaprabhu said, he offered himself. From this day, let's remember that Srivas Thakur is elder to Lord Chaitanya. He's like a father figure for him. Srivas Thakur, Adat Acharya, Haridas have come before the Lord in this world. Right? Much before the Lord. At least about 30-40 years before. Right? So they are like father figures for the Lord. So Mahaprabhu said that from today onwards, Nityananda and God, myself, we are your children. Right? And then the Lord is so deeply affected by this Leela that he goes a few feet forward and speaks to himself. How can I ever give up the association of such devotees who don't even cry at the loss of their son for my pleasure? Was the Lord hinting towards? He was hinting towards his own sannyas. So how will I be able to give up the association of such Vaishnavas who so much love me? And what will ever happen to them if I ever give them up? That thought was a disturbing thought in the heart of the Lord. Because very soon, he will perform his next leela of taking sannyas. Why did the Lord take sannyas? Everything was there in Navadvip for him. Best of friends, so much popularity, so much of name and fame. He was a Digvijay Pandit, he had crushed down the arrogance of Keshav Kashmiri. He was an uncrowned king scholar of Navadvip, which was like the high seat of learning in the entire country. He had established himself as the most erudite scholar in the entire world by defeating Keshav Kashmiri, Digvijay Pandit. You know, having all these things in your life, why would you ever want to take sannyas? A beautiful wife like Vishnu Priya, a great mother like Mother Yashoda coming as Sachi Mata, a brother like Vishwaroop. Everything was there. Panchatattva was there. Nothing was missing in Navadvip. And yet, since this avatar is Audarya, Audarya takes over even Leela. By staying in Navadvip, the Lord was performing Leelas, but by going out of the Leela Kshetra, he was going to the Kshetra of Audarya. Because going out of Navadvip would mean he was now giving into the Audarya nature of his heart. To give out what he had come to give the world. And he cannot give the world what he wants to give if he is still in the precincts of only Navadvip Dham. So he had to break apparently the bonds of love of his dear devotees in Navadvip. And he takes sannyas. There is a beautiful leela, of course. So much of... But to give up, to cut hair of Lord Chaitanya is not an ordinary event. Now people like us, you go to the barber and you pay 100 rupees and you say, okay, you know, give me... And some people say, okay, cut it in this way, cut it in that way, I want this fashion, that fashion. We are obsessed by our hair. What is hair? Hair is just collagen fiber. It's collagen. Collagen is just protein tissue. And we are obsessed by that. But the Lord's hair is not collagen. The professional barber could not cut his hair. So I cannot cut this hair. We talk of the Lord's beauty, right? But even every strand of hair is all attractive. I said, the whole world looks at the hair and sustains their lives practically. Imagine, we cannot imagine, but we have to imagine still. Because if we don't try to imagine, then we will never begin to understand. So we have to imagine. How can a whole village cry at someone's hair cutting ceremony? How can the whole village of Kantak Nagar roll in the dust, beat their chest, cry, pull their hair, go crazy? Why are you doing this to this young boy? He's only 24 years old. Why are you breaking our hearts? Why are you killing us all by cutting his hair? Hey, come on. We're cutting his hair. Why are you getting killed? But that is the Lord's beauty. And every strand of hair is all attractiveness. So every part of the Lord's leela is so beautiful. That is only, he took sannyas only for Audarya. To give. And not just, he traveled the whole tract of India practically. Right? Barefoot. No house. No food. No shelter. Who will do that? Why should the Lord do this austerity for what? When we realize in a personal way that it is for you and me, our hearts will cry, should cry. The Lord took this entire austerity of traveling barefoot, not through tarred roads or nice mud roads, through forest of Jharkhand. We don't even know what it means to walk in a forest. We go with the Nike shoes and all that. Right? We don't even go into a place which is not having good roads. People like good roads. America is famous for good roads. Good roads fascinate human mind these days, right? But the Lord has no walkways. They were just walking through forest. All over the... There were no roadways at the time, 500 years ago. It was just mud everywhere. Rainfall, mud, dirt, this, that. And jungle, forest. The Lord is walking. To show that His mercy was not only for the human beings, but was universal. Only in this Leela, the Lord extends His mercy to all living entities. And therefore we have these beautiful paintings here. Haridas Thakur Prabhu reminds us that even the lion, the tigers, the birds, the snakes, the porcupines, the rabbits, everyone gets Krishna's mercy, gets Krishna prem. In a subhuman species, Krishna prem unheard of. When the puppy was delivered, the small puppy, the demigods were shocked. Love of God to a puppy? Yamaraj practically fainted. What happened to my law and order situation, my karmic balance, all the files I maintain of, you know, giving this justice and this punishment, this punya and that papa. I keep all this record balance of all the people in the world. And Mahaprabhu is going to give His mercy to puppies, dogs, cats, you know, porcupines, snakes. Most envious animal is snake. Yes, love of God. The whole cycle of Yamaraj's balance goes completely haywire. So he was shocked, he fainted when he saw puppy getting a special airplane to come from Vaikuntha. My God, that was just too much. A small insignificant puppy of Navadvip gets a chartered airplane from Golok Vrindavan with Nanda Sunanda coming in and said, please come. Please come, Puppy Prabhu. Please ascend this celestial airplane. We come just for you. And puppy was a delivered soul. He's not a puppy anymore. He was a Paramhamsa puppy. It's a Paramhamsa puppy. Right? He had already cried tears of love of God. He had made the whole Navadvipa village dance in ecstasy in Nam Sankirtan. He was empowered agent of the Lord's mercy. Right? To show the Lord can empower anyone. Anyone. To become agents of His mercy. This is how indiscriminate the Lord is. Right? So how good chance we have, right? That should make us greedy. If a puppy can get love of God, well, this is something which challenges my false ego. I must definitely get it. If a puppy can be given this, I mean, I'm much better than a puppy, right? I'm born in India, Brahmin family, whatever. Right? I'm ISKCON-eyed now. I should get this. Yes, we should think like that. If puppy can get it, definitely I want to try for this. Huh? You should think like that. Very strong hanker for this. Lolyam eka mulyam. The only price to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy is one. Only one. What is that? Lolyam. We need to become greedy. But for being greedy, let's close other doors first. Other three doors, I mentioned in the beginning. Mahaprabhu shuts those doors for us when he chants, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmaneshware, bhavatad bhakti rahe tuki tvahi. So he closes those doors for us. So all these doors are all for other things, and forget it. Right? The people, the philosophy, the person, the place, and the people. Who are the empowered people? The Shraddha Goswamis. Radhakrishna Nitya Lila, Korilo Prakash. They revealed Vrindavan Dham. And after them, especially beginning with Thakur Bhakti Vinod Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada, they revealed Navadvipa. So Mahaprabhu immediately associates revealers of Vrindavan. The next few generations after that, revealers of Navadvipa Dham. How we want to be so grateful to Thakur Bhakti Vinod today? But for his descent in this world, we would never know what is the place of Mahaprabhu's descent. It has already been, you know, sort of messed up with other people who are saying it is here, it is there, under the Ganga, and it has shifted, and this and that, it is now uppercut, and everything. All sorts of theories were there. Research. People do research these days on stupid things. You know, how to make a bubble of a soap stay on the body for longer time. This is research. When you take a soap bath, there is foam, there is bubbles. And a soap is considered better if the bubbles remain in your body for a longer time. So how the bubble should not burst fast? There are brains in IIT working on bubbles made out of soap, lather. They spend a whole life behind this. But what is Thakur Bhakti Vinod's research? Finding the place of Mahaprabhu's birth. Maps, records, asking people, interviews, intuition, prayer, everything which he had access to. And finally, endorsement. Endorsement for all times to come by Paramahamsa, Commander Acharya, Jagannath Babaji Maharaj. When he came to this place, he jumped up in the air, 15 feet it is said. 145-year-old person jumping. Young devotees nowadays, and we are 40 years old, we think we have a backache, and we don't jump nowadays, right? 145 years old, jumping in the sky. Ehi to hai nimai janma bhumi, ehi to hai nimai janma bhumi, jai Sachinandan Gaur Hari. Right? Endorsement for all times to come. This is Mahaprabhu's birthplace. And then Saraswati Thakur, even more places he excavated. Navadvipa Mahatma came from the pens of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Prabhupada revealed completely, fully, brought Navadvipa to the hearts, made accessible to the whole world. That's why, you know, in the TOP slogan, and if you read that slogan plaque, you see that, I want the whole world to come to Mayapur, right? They quote that as the most important caption in that TOP, you know, promotional material. I want the whole world to come to Mayapur. A small village, Mayapur is not even a dot on the map. But what is insignificant for the material eyes, therefore, you know, Radhanand Maharaj stresses this point that Prabhupada in 1971 already had centers in Paris, in Australia, in America, other places. He could have made his headquarters anywhere in this world. He could have made it in Los Angeles, he could have made it in Paris, he could have made it in Australia, he could have made it in London. Right? Why would Prabhupada want to make his international headquarters in a small village called Mayapur? Because, and now we think, oh yeah, it's proper. But at that time, it didn't make any sense. Non-accessible, there's no water supply, there's no electricity, there is no connections, there is no roadways, there is no airports, there is no buildings, there is nothing there. It is just paddy fields. Who would ever do this crazy idea of making a headquarters of a particular society in a paddy field? But Prabhupada is a person who has transcendental vision. He can see what mortal eyes cannot see. Because he's from the spiritual world. His eyes are not seeing matter. His eyes can see spirit. And he can see spiritual things in a different dimension which our fleshy eyes cannot see. Prabhupada was sure that he must make his headquarters not anywhere in the world but in Mayapur. And his faith is now, you know, endorsed. The whole world is coming. 11,000 people were there this time in this year in the Navadvipa Dham Parikrama. 11,000. What a big number. Just for the Parikrama. And 5 Parikramas. 3 in Hindi, 1 international, 1 Bengali. All Prabhupada disciples were there. Jai, Shigor Nitai, Ki Jai. And last but not the least, the place, the person, the philosophy, the people, and at last, the process. What is the process? The process is so sublime. Naam Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto, Abhinatvam Nama Namino. Right. This is our Shraddha, this is our faith, that when we chant Krishna's names, we are in direct association with the all-beautiful Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna. And Mahaprabhu revealed in his dancing and his kirtans how he was experiencing Krishna in the Nama. The Panchatattva experienced Krishna in the Nama. But we don't experience that. So if your hearts are inspired today, we would make a deeper commitment. A deeper commitment. This day before Goa Purnima is especially a day where we recharge our desire battery with a renewed enthusiasm to take shelter of Krishna's grace, to take shelter of Krishna's dham, to take shelter of Mahaprabhu's associates and his devotees, to take shelter of his philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, and to take shelter of his process. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva Nasteva, Nasteva Gatirnyatha. Let us rededicate ourselves and make our life supremely auspicious. We have every reason to feel completely enthused, happy and blissful. No matter what the chota mota problems of our life are, this and that will always remain. Because you are in an embodied state, that will always remain. And yet we can sort of put it aside and not allow it to interfere with what we are getting, something so very rare. So let's again end with this desire to open our hearts. Open our hearts wide for Krishna's grace to enter. And when Krishna's grace enters, when the light, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hoy, all the darkness in our heart, all the ignorance, avidya, which is there, when Krishna's grace enters, automatically the avidya leaves on the back door. Right? And just like when Krishna entered the cave of Muchakunda, right? When he came, the whole cave was illuminated. Our hearts are like those caves. When Krishna's grace, Mahaprabhu's grace enters our heart, all illusion, all bodily concept of life, all desire to enjoy the things of this world, all that will just vanish into becoming completely pale and insignificant. So that's what is in store for us for today, tomorrow, and for eternality. Let us thank Srila Prabhupada, his beloved followers who are making this mercy accessible to the entire world. And let us become instruments of that compassion. Hare Krishna. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Panchatattva ki jai. A loving divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.